This is the Truth Frequency Radio Network.
We are TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys for tuning in once again. It is Monday. It's happened once again. Happens every week. I know. But we're going to get through it. It is Monday. Today is the 26th of January, and we are live right now. Appreciate you guys checking out the program today. This is, of course, part of your daily dose of deprogramming. My name is JD, and this is the Red Pill Reports. We are going to do our best to bring you guys all kinds of important news today because there's lots of stuff going on around the world. I hope you guys had a great weekend. The weather here in Missouri was kind of poopy this weekend, I'm not going to lie. So I'm hoping that wherever you guys are, the weather is better. Probably ought to throw a disclaimer out there, though, that if you're up in the Northeast right now, batten down the hatches. That is the word that we are getting from anybody and everybody with the Weather Channel app on their phone up there. Everybody is saying that you guys up in the Boston, New York area, Manhattan, all of that northwest or northeast area there, maybe more than 2 feet of snow starting tonight and going into tomorrow, 50-mile-an-hour winds, cats and dogs living together. Mass hysteria is essentially what they're calling for in the whole New England upper northeast area going into tonight. So I won't go on and on about how nice it is here today because I realize there's probably a lot of people out there that, you're going to get some more snow. Winter is not through with you yet, ladies and gentlemen, if you're up there in the Northeast. But if you are up there in the Northeast, please be safe. Get your stuff, now. Be ready. Don't wait until the snow starts falling to go out and say, oh, I need to cut firewood or I need to get water. Get your stuff done today. Don't go to work. Just get your stuff done. Hopefully you did it all this weekend, but, get yourself prepared just in case your roof caves in and, get everything done that you need to get done before that snow hits, essentially, is what I'm saying up there, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, lots of stuff to talk about. Want to thank everybody for going to redpillreports.com as usual. We got a great guest on at the 11 o'clock hour today. Greg Morse is going to be joining us again. Greg is a great friend of mine. He's becoming a great friend of mine and one of these guys that I'm really proud to know, just generally speaking, an absolute bulldog in terms of his investigation. And anyway, we're going to be talking about the mortgage crisis, this issue with your broken chain of title and where that money was taken and how it was used against us and our servicemen and women around the world. It is a big, huge nightmare of a story, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, I don't really know how else to get around it, but we're starting to break the walls down. We're starting to get the information out to the people, and people are starting to take that information and run with it. So I know what we're going to do today is we're going to go kind of back more in depth in terms of just the mortgage crisis issue, just what is going on with your specific mortgage at home and how we can correlate that to some of the fraud that Greg has found in his own mortgage. And anyway, what we're going to do today, hopefully, is put you guys in a position where you can look at your own individual mortgage paperwork and be able to identify some things in there that may make you go, I probably need to be paying more attention to what these guys on the radio are saying right now. So we're going to give you some ways to discover whether or not your mortgage specifically is part of this nightmare. It's about a 90% chance that it probably is. But then we're going to talk about the stage two of the plan here as we're empowering people, starting to get some community organizers together and starting to really hold some elected officials and some not so elected officials feet to the fire when it comes to this stuff. So we can get this thing resolved, and we're going to move in that direction of getting this thing resolved. We're also going to get more people signing the petition today. So again, Greg Morris will be on the show at 11 o'clock, which is 1 hour from now. Always in the second hour of the broadcast, we do a guest, and that will be, he will be our guest today. Let's see, what is going on around the world? I gotta apologize a little bit, guys. Here it's Monday, and, I don't know what's going on. There's just something in the air today that feels like craziness is impending. Does anybody else feel like that? Does it feel like there's a shoe that's getting ready to drop or something? I don't know what's going on, but, there's a lot of energy that's really weird right now. I'm having a little trouble just kind of settling down and focusing. I'm going to work on it here right now, though. I want to say hi to everybody in the chat room as well. Appreciate you guys being in there. It's fun to have some feedback, and love being able to chat with you guys. Anyway, I don't know who the guest is tomorrow, so I'll tell you that in a little while. Yeah, not really prepared here right now, but that's okay. We're having fun. It's Monday. We have a lot of international news to talk about. We have a lot of news from around the world to talk about. We got some health stuff going on. We got some tech stuff going on, but probably the most important big story right now would be the results of this Greek election that just took place yesterday. Now, the official election results are not in, right, because it's going to take them a day or so to count everything, but it does appear as if the Syriza party has won the election according to all of the exit polls. They're coming out of Greece. That's a really, really big deal. We've been talking about this for like 2 weeks, you know, the idea that that these two major parties were kind of going head to head here, and that you know, the popular party has won. And by popular, I mean the people who are sick of the absolutely sick of the austerity, you know, essentially have now empowered Antonis Samaras back into he's the outgoing prime minister. Whew, I'm gonna get this together here, I swear to God, you guys. So about 75% of the votes have counted right now. Syriza party is projected to win 149 seats in their parliament there, which is just too short of an absolute majority. Of course, as the rest of the results keep coming in, those results may change. But what this really means is that a majority of the voters in Greece have essentially rejected the core policy for dealing with the Eurozone crisis, and that policy was developed by Brussels and Berlin, right? So the entire population of Greece right now is just saying, you know, we're not going to deal with this austerity thing. So what is this going to do to their pending, you know, are they going to stay in the Eurozone? Are they going to keep using the euro? What is this going to mean for the economy around the world? I don't know, but I guarantee it's going to have some pretty far-reaching effects. So we'll have to check a little bit later in the episode today when we get into the economy episode. Roof, somebody's asking me to comment on a picture in the chat room, and I don't even know what that picture of. Someone tell me what that picture is. Robbie, what is that picture of? It looks like two popes, or a pope with a big necklace on or something. I don't know what's going on. Good times. Oh, I like having you guys text me. Okay, so anyway, Greece election results are in. Anti-austerity, Syriza has won the election. It's going to be moving forward in that direction. So hopefully the people of Greece will be able to get out from underneath this austerity packages that they've been under. How that's going to happen and what the fallout is going to be for the rest of the Eurozone, I don't know. It's going to be crazy. As another game changer here, Russia is now preparing to develop gas reserves in the Gaza area. Wow. So that's a pretty significant political and economic development, right? Because obviously Gaza is a pretty contested area. You've got the Palestinian-Israeli conflict there going on right now. We have the report coming out Friday that Russia and Iran were teaming up to do some new things. And now it looks like Russia and the Palestinian president there are working to start a pretty major Gaza offshore gas field development there, right in the Mediterranean Sea. Very interesting, because they're also saying that some of the money is going to the Palestinian, you know, population there. So what is Israel going to say about this? I mean, this is crazy. This is a big, big development. And this is the first time that Russia has really kind of stepped into the region. And it's also the first time, we'll just say, that Israel's not going to be real stoked about this, I don't think. I don't know if Israel's going to be prepared for dealing with a potential adversary the size of Russia. That's a pretty big person to be partnering up with Palestine there. So anyway, militant attack in Pakistan over the weekend plunges Pakistan into darkness. There were some 140 million people were left without power after a transmission line was apparently attacked by rebel forces. It's always these rebel forces causing so much problems. But about 80% of the country's population lost electricity in the early hours of Sunday, and the disruption was reported at Lahore's international airport, but flights were not affected. This power failure, which is one of the worst Pakistan has experienced, caused electricity to be cut in major cities, including the capital of Islamabad, and the outage started at about midnight when a transmission line connected to the national grid was damaged in an explosion. The authorities blamed the attack on a separatist group in Baluchistan, which is a province in the country's southwest. But by midday morning yesterday, officials said power had been restored to nearly half of the country. I'm still not sure exactly where they're standing right now. It's difficult to get current information out, but hopefully Pakistan getting back online in terms of power there, because nobody likes sitting around in the dark. Leo Bertain, I've been trying to figure out a way to work this whole story in here. Leon Bertain was the former Home Secretary in Britain, right? And he had been accused very recently of being involved with this whole upper-level, you know, elite and royal family pedophile ring thing that's been going on in the UK it's been going on in the UK since the 1970s, but it's only been now in the news for just a few weeks. And Leon Bertain was apparently photographed entering a underage sex den during a police investigation, according to claims that are being made now. But very coincidentally, and probably conveniently for him, that he died last Wednesday, just as a coincidence happened to die. But anyway, the Tory Lord, who did, as I said, die on Wednesday, was said to have been snapped in pictures by officers in a 1986 surveillance operation focusing on rent boy orgies run in North London buildings. I'm not making this up. Detectives were apparently watching premises where the boys were picked up at King's Cross and were dropped off to be repeatedly raped, according to friends of an officer involved with the investigation. And so big names believed to have been photographed entering the dens include former Home Secretary Bertain, a gentleman who passed away conveniently last week, and MP Cyril Smith, and some other top judges. Sources claim up to 16 high-profile figures were scheduled to be arrested during this event, this incident, these photographs going on back in 1986, right? But on the day before the swoops were supposed to be carried out, officers on the investigation called Operation Orchid were allegedly told it had been disbanded. Okay, so our sources, according to the news report that I'm reading here now, say it was unclear what happened to the photographs or why the raid was called off. I don't think that's unclear at all. I think that these people are elites and they have absolute control media and over the, you know, criminal control agency, whatever you want to call them, police department. So obviously there was pretty major stuff getting ready to go down. And it didn't go down because these guys have so much sway politically that they can, you know, essentially be free to do whatever it is that they want to do. And that's par for the course. And anyway, Leon Dan Albert. I've also been trying to get my head around this Argentinian situation. I don't know if you guys know what I'm talking about. There's a prosecutor who was killed in Argentina, right? Okay, so the story goes like this. This prosecutor was found dead shortly before he was about ready to make pretty explosive allegations against the president there in Argentina. And he apparently, just released yesterday on Raw Story, took a bullet at point blank to his forehead. Okay, so this gentleman was found dead. As I said, he was at his home in Buenos Aires on Sunday, just before he was getting ready to go do this congressional hearing to accuse Kirchner and former minister Hector Timmerman of shielding Iranian officials implicated in the 1994 bombing of a Jewish community center that killed 85 people. So this Nisman guy essentially, apparently, has found information that shows, without a doubt, that the Argentinian president, who is probably not a very good person at this point, was shielding these Iranian officials who were implicated in the 1994 bombing of a Jewish community center there. And so essentially what I think this prosecutor was going to do was to come out and say, you know, this was a cover-up, and we knew back at the time that this was a cover-up, and, you know, the president is obviously you know, involved. He filed a 280-page complaint charging that Kirchner had issued an express directive to shield a group of Iranian suspects back in 94. This is also the worst terrorist attack in Argentina's history. It's never gone to trial, and a lot of pretrial events were canceled amidst serious irregularities involving judges and Argentinian intelligence staff. So again, this whole thing was getting ready to be brought to a head last week, and you know, just like that, the initial reports in the paper was that, of course, this guy committed suicide, right? You know, he shot himself in the head. But again, people have come out now and said that's probably not really a very convenient way to commit suicide, by shooting yourself at point blank in the forehead, not at the temple side, but like directly, you know, into the front of your forehead. That's awkward. I don't know. That's not how I would do it if I was going to do it. Not that I would do it. And if I ever do it, you have my permission to be skeptical. If I'm ever found dead with 9 nails in the back of my head and they tell you it's suicide, please be skeptical about that. Thank you. Anyway, so now Argentina is saying that rogue agents from its own intelligence service were behind the death of this prosecutor. So, you know, I don't know. That's just, there's so much going on right now. I don't even know how to get my head around that, guys. I apologize for that. But Argentina, definitely going through a lot of craziness right now. And it looks like the president is guilty of something. We'll just say that. Okay. The United Nations has condemned Israel for illegally demolishing houses of Palestinians in East Jerusalem, leaving 77 people, half of whom were children, homeless in 3 days. The demolitions that result in forced evictions and displacement run counter to Israel's obligation under international law to create unnecessary suffering and tension, the UN Office for Coordination of Human Affairs, or OCHA, said in a statement on Friday. The demolitions took place in East Jerusalem and in the districts of Ramallah, Jericho, and Hebron, according to this statement. I won't go too much more into that. I do find that to be pretty deplorable, though. Just saying. The Ukraine military planning on boosting troops again in the eastern side of the country there. We've talked about that. They're having a lot of trouble right now. We had the story last week about Poroshenko, you know, essentially needing to draft 50,000 people of service age to go fight their own countrymen. And I think that's a problem. I think that's going to be the problem for Ukraine going forward, is that you are not ever going to be able to beat, without just a ridiculous, overwhelming show of force, these people on the east side of the country, because A, it's their home, and B, you're asking people that up until a few months ago were their countrymen to come now and fight them and kill them. And granted, you may find people in Kiev who are willing to take money and willing to go and do that. But at the same time, I think a lot of the military there is going to be really apprehensive about going and shooting at their own countrymen on the eastern side of their country, especially if they've been following any kind of, you know, the political events there in Kiev. Because obviously, you know, we put a junta in with the NATO and the U.S. and all of the CIA and the what have you. So, I mean, if you're following that, and you, even if you're on the eastern or the western side of the country there, why you would want to go fight your own countrymen wouldn't make a lot of sense to me. But the Ukraine's military, again, is going to be boosting forces in the east as Poroshenko calls for all parties to stick to the Minsk Accord, which doesn't really make a lot of sense. There's a lot of fighting still going on this week and over the weekend there in Mariupol and in Donetsk. Lots of artillery fighting. The ceasefire deal between the Kiev and the military forces obviously doesn't look like it's ever been fully implemented. So while at the same time Poroshenko is saying we want to stick to these peace accords, he's getting ready to send, you know, 50,000 troops over there. It's pretty clear to me that Poroshenko is not a good dude. Like, he is definitely, he was put in that position for a reason, and I think he is going to just run ramshackle across the country there. So anyway, my heart really does go out to the people in the eastern Ukraine right now, because I really think they're being caught up in something that they didn't have any intention to be caught up in. And again, these are people not that different than us. You know what I mean? Okay. Let's see. Also, some pretty big anti-fascist protesting happening in Italy over the weekend. There was a big clash out at an anti-fascist rally in Cremona, Italy, where about 2,000 protesters took to the streets to object to an attack by far-right group supporters, and the fracas left political activists in the hospital. A couple of thousand anti-fascist protesters attended the rally on Saturday, which started off pretty peacefully, and the protesters marched through the city you know, chanting slogans, waving banners to draw awareness of the plight of anti-fascist activist Emilio Viscalgi, who was currently in hospital with a serious condition following last week's attack by a far-right group called Causa Pound, and he was injured when the event organized by the CSA Cultural Center was attacked. Oh, okay. So he was injured last week. More people came out over the weekend to show support, and about halfway through the rally, the group of youths appeared wearing helmets. These are essentially rabble-rousers that were probably, potentially, could have been maybe police officers. We'll just say that. And they dressed in black, carrying sticks, and they began to throw stones, bottles, flares, and smoke bombs at the police. So the police fought back, and it basically went pretty crazy there in Italy. So more unrest all around the world. Pick your poison. Is it going to be anti-austerity that gets you in the streets? Is it going to be pro-Palestinian? Is it going to be pro-Israel? Is it going to be freedom of speech? What's it going to be? What's it going to be? Because you have to have something these days. It's got to be some reason to get in the streets and become violent. It's just crazy. I want to talk about this silly story coming out of Hong Kong, too. The Hong Kong police right now are searching for a girl between the ages of 12 and 14 because she participated with a couple of other people, adults, between their ages of 30 and 40, in a pretty impressive little diamond heist. This young girl, I guess, waited for her accomplices, who were two women and a man, to distract some of the employees in a store. She ended up getting a key from one of the drawers, getting into a cabinet, and she stole a diamond necklace worth $4.6 million. That's right. I tell you, if you're going to go big, go big or go home. This little girl, somebody trained her up right, and she anyway managed to steal a key from a drawer to open a cabinet while the staff was distracted and stole a $4.6 million necklace there from a jewelry store in Hong Kong. So, wow, pretty brazen. I don't know what you're going to say about that. Anyway, they're still looking for her. They did catch a glimpse of her on the CCTV, but who knows if they're going to be able to catch her. They say they're looking for a 12-year-old girl who is slender. Good luck with that, ladies and gentlemen. You know what I think. Okay, moving on here. I got to talk about this senator from Kentucky. The senator from Kentucky wants his DUI charges dropped. And I'll tell you why he wants them dropped. Because he believes, as a lawmaker, that he is privileged from arrest. And wouldn't you know it, in Kentucky, he might be right. He might actually be right. So a Kentucky state senator is having no reservations about proclaiming his political privilege. In fact, he is simply citing a section of the Kentucky Constitution that claims politicians are, in fact, above the law. The senator is Brandon Smith. He's a Republican. He was charged with driving under the influence and wants the case dismissed, citing that lawmakers are privileged from arrest. And his attempt to circumvent the hand of justice have thus far proven to be pretty darn successful, actually. On Wednesday, a judge delayed Smith's arraignment after his attorney filed this request. He said that Smith has raised a serious constitutional issue regarding his immunity in this case, which it makes sense. Smith and his attorney are citing the century-old rule, which is Section 43 of the Kentucky Constitution, which is still on the books, and it still says this: the members of the General Assembly shall, in all cases except treason, felony, breach of surety of the peace, be privileged from arrest during their attendance on the sessions of their respective houses and in going to and returning from the same, and for any speech or debate in either house, they shall not be questioned in any other place. So the senator was arrested on January 6th by a Kentucky state trooper just after 9 p.m. on the opening day of the legislative session. Smith was charged with a DUI and speeding 20 miles per hour over the speed limit, and the state journal reports that, according to the citation, Smith was stopped on Village Drive. He was described as he failed the field sobriety test, and it was apparently blew a .088 on the preliminary breath test. But once in the police custody, he refused the official breathalyzer test, and under state law, that would automatically require them to suspend your license. But Johnson claims that Smith did not refuse. He says that he claims on the phone. So he says he didn't refuse. He just said he wanted to wait for his attorney to get there, which is actually really, really good advice. That would be something I would recommend people do. Apparently he could have been caught doing all kinds of things, and he would still be getting off. But apparently it looks like he might be getting off from a DUI And granted, no, nobody was hurt. Nothing, you know, really bad happened. But at the same time, you know, he's speeding and he's drunk, and he's going to probably get off on a constitutional thing, which you really can't argue for, because you have to, at the same time, you know, hope that the constitutional rights that we have would be applicable in law. So I don't know. Is he going to get off on a technicality? Should he get off on a technicality? Probably not. Will he? Most likely, I think. And there's a new piece of Texas legislation that's going through, which would allow guns without any type of license. Now, I don't know if that necessarily means concealed carry without a license, but the Texas lawmaker, Representative Jonas Strickland, who is a Republican from Bedford, has introduced a bill, and you can find a link to it at redpillreports.com in the show section, but it basically would do away with the need for Texans to have a license to carry guns. It would still be exceptions for, you know, preventing guns at schools and places like amusement parks, but in most cases, the bill would make open carry legal without a permit. I wasn't aware that Texas didn't have open carry laws. I'm pretty sure that Missouri does. I am really on the fence about open carry. I think open carry is a great idea if you're going to be with a group of people and there's some sort of need for everyone to be armed. I get that. I totally get that. But there are some people out there that I don't feel like should be open carrying by themselves. My father is one of them. No offense, Dad. But my dad was a pretty big proponent of open carry. And, I feel like if you're going to be out by yourself and you're open carrying, you're potentially just drawing a lot of attention to yourself and you're making yourself a target. You know, if there's a group of people that wants to own your weapon and they see you and there's six of them, well, you know, you probably are going to lose your gun. But if you carry concealed, then again, the perpetrator doesn't know whether or not you have a gun or not. And that actually helps everybody, because then they have to be on their toes about who it is they're going to go after. Not to say I'm against open carry. I just think in the right circumstances, definitely support concealed carry all the time for everyone. Anyway, we got to go to a 3-minute break, guys. We're going to come back. We got a little bit more news to go over. Yeah, Greg Morrison in about a half an hour. So keep it right here, guys.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
Big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you, has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique, affordable survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927, 866-229-0927, or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
Wouldn't it be nice to have one product that replaces more than 10, saving you space, time, and money? HempUSA.org has a complete full-spectrum vitamin mineral detox formulation called Micro Plant Powder Gold. Micro Plant Powder Gold contains 101 vitamins, minerals, probiotics, and iodine, has a 100-year shelf life, and is a perfect addition to any storage shelter. Make Micro Plant Powder Gold your choice. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org today.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, and that all men are created equal.
The Freedom Link.
With Joe Joseph, Monday through Friday, on True Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, I do not have enough coffee. That's my problem right now. I'm doing the best I can. I was up a little later than I needed to be, and I'm only on one cup of coffee. So maybe by the end of the show, we'll get my brain together here. Love all you guys in the chat room. Thank you guys for being in there. I think it's fantastic. But, yeah, Robbie sent a picture just now of the Pope, and it was crazy. He's totally doing the satanic, I don't know, what do we call that? Is that like the Illuminati, hand signal? I don't know. It's crazy though. Why we would have a picture of the Pope doing something like that, I just don't know. But I do appreciate you guys being in the chat room, sharing stuff with us, having the conversation. I apologize everybody out there listening who's not in the chat room, because you probably all feel really left out right now, but whose fault is that really? Well, it's mine. I understand that. Anyway, moving back into the news. Appreciate you guys all sticking with us through that 3-minute break. Want to talk a little bit about Mr. Clinton. I do want to remind everybody, I believe it was Thursday's show that was kind of a non-show that I'm not sure if it even got archived or not. We were having some tech issues last week, but we had Aaron Dykes on, and we talked quite a bit about the Clintons. I'm not sure if it got recorded or not, so you may not be able to read it. But I think that we probably spurred the kids, Aaron and Melissa, over at TruthStream Media to do a special report about the Clintons, and they did do a very good little video, and I got that included in today's news links down at the bottom of today's show section. In the featured video section is a special report about the Clintons from the kids over at TruthStream Media, Aaron and Mel. So if you are interested in seeing that, down at the redpillreports.com in the show section at the bottom, featured video. Great report. But anyway, there's some more information now coming out about Bill Clinton and relating to this whole Jeffrey Epstein situation. But apparently Bill Clinton did take repeated trips on Jeffrey Epstein's private passenger jet, which was called the Lolita Express. Okay. Again, that passenger jet owned by the billionaire pedophile Jeffrey Epstein, with an actress in softcore porn movies whose name appears in Epstein's address books under the entry for massages, according to the flight log books obtained by Gawker and just published for the first time over the weekend. The logs also show that Clinton shared more than a dozen flights with a woman who federal prosecutors believe procured underage girls to sexually service Epstein and his friends and acted as a potential co-conspirator in his crimes. Yes. So anyway, they've turned up over the last couple of months while they've been doing this whole investigation into Epstein. You got to remember, this isn't related necessarily to the large pedophile ring that is exploding in the UK. Of course, there's going to be some correlations. There's going to be some people who were related to both. But this is definitely an American thing here. So this massive network of victims has been uncovered, including 35 female minors whom federal prosecutors believed he had sexually abused. Again, we're talking about Epstein here. And he has reportedly settled lawsuits with more than 30 of them, these Jane Doe victims, since 2008. The youngest alleged victim was 12 years old at the time of her abuse. And Epstein's predatory past and his now pretty inconvenient relationship with the who's who of the Davos set has now been hitting the front page all over the world because Virginia Roberts, obviously claiming in a federal court that Epstein recruited her as a sex slave at the age of 15 and then sexually trafficked her to a politically connected and financially powerful people. And here's where the correlation comes in, including Prince Andrew and attorney Alan Dershowitz, the later filing claimed, the filing claimed had sex with the victim on private planes. Dershowitz vigorously denies the charges, as does Prince Andrew. So, pretty sure that Clinton is wrapped up in this quite a bit more than he would want anybody talking about on the radio. So maybe I'll digress because I don't really want to die. And Clinton just seems to have that trail of dead bodies behind him. Again, these are all just allegations. This is just my own conjecture. Please don't read anything into it. It's probably just a coincidence that Epstein had 21 separate private phone numbers for Bill Clinton. That's probably normal business stuff, right? They just talked about normal business stuff on these planes with strippers and hookers and stuff, right? A Colorado woman who tried to join ISIS, she has now been sentenced to 4 years in prison. This Colorado woman who was planning on marrying an Islamic State militant she had never met in person and to join the terrorist group in Turkey, she has now been sentenced to 4 years in federal prison. I think that seems a bit much, but Shannon Maureen Connolly, who pled guilty in September to one count of conspiracy to provide material support to a foreign terrorist organization, said she never intended to hurt anyone, but instead hoped to defend Muslims. Following the prosecutor's sentencing request, a U.S. District Judge Raymond P. Moore said that he wanted to send a warning to others considering the same thing. He says, this is not a serious offense, but it's an extremely serious offense, and I need to send a message. So in April, Connolly was arrested at the Denver airport. She was trying to board a plane for Turkey. She had said she had plans to meet a 32-year-old IS militant that she had met online who had promised her marriage. And she had no idea what the ISIS was about, apparently, at that time. But anyway, 4 years in prison for attempting to go and get married to someone in the ISIS organization. That seemed a bit steep to anybody else? That seems a bit steep to me. It's not like she was packing bomb making materials over there or something, but I don't know. I just find that to be a little bit heavy handed. 4 years in prison for trying to go over there to get married. I don't know. What do you guys think? Let me know. Oh man, big event also this weekend here in the States. Bomb squads ended up sweeping the Atlanta airport and fighter jets from NORAD were actually scrambled after threats on Twitter against Delta airplanes coming into the Atlanta area. So they on Sunday, they escorted two flights to Atlanta. So they actually had four fighter jets in the air to escort two different flights down to the Atlanta airport after authorities had received bomb threats via Twitter that they deemed to be credible. And then the bomb squad swept the planes, which landed safely, and the passengers were all evacuated and questioned. The Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport in Atlanta, Georgia, was partly shut down Saturday after Delta Flight 1156 and Southwest Flight 2492 landed there safely. Bomb squads, canine units, blah, 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 searched the planes for explosives. Nothing was found. And so, yeah, they basically scrambled NORAD. But, you know, they're saying it's a precautionary measure. But that's interesting to me considering, you know, if you buy into the whole 9/11 motif, you know, maybe they've upped their response time since 9/11, saying, you know, oh, my God, we actually have to go do something if there's planes up in the air with a credible threat. But it just seems really interesting to me that two separate large airline planes would have to be escorted in by NORAD over the weekend. It just really seems unusual to me. But again, a lot of unrest around the world, lots of potentially credible threats to people. So I guess it's a good thing that they decided to do that. Let's see here. What else is going on? This investigation into this very large fire that happened in Annapolis, Maryland. This was unusual. My friend Shark sent me this article, and I probably would have missed it, so I appreciate you sending that to me. But after 2 days, almost 2 days after a fire destroyed a multi-million dollar mansion, there's no sign of the tech executive and his five family members that were supposedly there in the house. The investigation, according to the fire officials there, could take days, if not weeks. They don't know how this massive fire was started. The house that we're speaking out was actually a 16,000 square foot waterfront mansion. And so they're actually treating it as a commercial fire because it was so big. But they're bringing in heavy equipment. They're going to have to go through this thing. They haven't been able to find any victims yet. They thought that the four grandchildren were possibly there at the scene. And the owner of the house is technology executive Don Pyle, and his wife is Sandy Pyle. But none of them have been heard from since this fire happened. And, the officials there are pretty hesitant to come out and say, you know, for sure that people have passed away because they haven't got any evidence to suggest that anybody was actually there. But interesting to note that this guy was a tech, kind of a tech guru, big house, and it went up so quickly that they couldn't even get in. And we have these instances of hot zones again, similar to 9/11. So I don't know. I see these kind of glaring similarities to a movie called Conspiracy Theory where, what was that guy's? Mel Gibson had his house all wired to blow, you know, incinerate if somebody broke in. I kind of wonder if this was a situation like that because, you know, to be able to not even get into a home to figure out what happened, that's pretty significant. But big house, big fire. Don't know what's going on there. We'll try and keep you guys up to date if we find out more in the future. Let's see. Are you driving a 2014 Kia Forte? Yes? No? Nobody ever answers when I say that stuff. Kia Motors recalling 86,000 Forte sedans in the United States because of a cooling fan resistor may overheat and melt. So if you have a 2014 Kia Forte compact sedan, do me a favor and get in touch with your Kia dealership because I would hate for something bad to happen to you. So you've heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. Kia, if you have one, get on top of that. Let's see. Moving on to some economic news right now. Let's find out what is going on and if there's going to be some fallout from the Greece election. Doesn't look too bad right now. The market is a little down, but not very down. We're down about 30 points, 17,641 on the Dow. Let's see. Oil, 45.47. So really, a lot of these oil-producing agencies and countries around the world are really sticking to this $40 to $45 as the mark, and I think they maybe have nailed it at this point because it really hasn't moved too much. Wow, gold seeing some pretty large profit-taking since over the week. You know, going into Friday, I think we saw highs above 1,300. Gold sitting right now at 1,278, so we've got a little bit of profit-taking coming on there. Wonder why that would be difficult to say. Let's find out what the euro is doing against the dollar. It's up just a touch right now, but still 1.127 against the U.S. dollar right now, which is almost as low as it has ever been, as far as I know. And Bitcoin, where are we at with the Bitcoin action right now? Let's do it. Oh, 282.34 will get you some Bitcoin right now. That's pretty big. I'll tell you what, that's $30 up in the last 24 hours alone. I'll tell you, those guys that bought in at 180 a couple weeks ago hoping for a bottom, they might have hit that thing right on the head, ladies and gentlemen. So, I don't know. Watching metals. Yeah, I'm watching the metals too there, Obsidian. I like the metal. Let's see. There's another announcement from China and Switzerland. They signed a deal last week on yuan trading inside of Zurich. This is a kind of a big deal as well. The central banks of China and Switzerland have signed a pact to establish a yuan trading center in Zurich. The deal is expected to increase the number of European transactions in yuan, and the Switzerland Central Bank said on Wednesday that it had signed an agreement with the People's Bank of China, and the deal was concluded during the visit of the Chinese Prime Minister to the World Economic Forum in Davos, which just ended Friday of last week. The step comes under the framework of the Qualified Foreign Institutional Investor Program that allows foreign investment in Chinese securities using foreign currencies. So similar centers already exist in Hong Kong and London. Yes, Poet, I totally agree with you. We all should have bought Bitcoin when it was 4 cents a unit. That would have been smart. But we could all say the same thing about silver, too, $15 an ounce. Yep. Okay, so that's what's going on there. China, Switzerland signing a deal on the yuan trading in Zurich. Again, moving further away from the dollar in terms of what China is doing. Could we see negative interest rates coming to the United States? Is that what's going to happen here now? Well, I think that Tyler Durden believes that. Tyler Durden, obviously the producer over at Zero Hedge, smart, smart guy. And here's what he's saying. He's looking at a couple of different factors. First of all, Wall Street Journal is coming out and saying that the European Central Bank's launch of an aggressive program this week to buy more than $1 trillion in bonds poses pretty important tests for the U.S. economy and for the Federal Reserve, right? Europe's new program of money spending and printing and the resulting fall in the euro means that the U.S. economy must deal with a rapidly strengthening dollar, and that will make the American goods more expensive abroad. So the stronger dollar could slow both the U.S. growth and inflation, giving the Fed some incentive to hold off on its plan to raise short-term interest rates later this year from near zero. And a stronger dollar has three pretty important implications for the U.S. economy, markets, and the policymakers. First, it tamps down inflation, just as the Fed is trying to raise inflation closer to its 2% mark. That's always their target, right? And second, it hurts exports and therefore economic growth. And lastly, the attraction of U.S. financial assets could heat up markets, just as regulators keep watch for dangerous asset bubbles, right? So the U.S. officials have been playing down that whole scenario and more broadly resisting talk global currency war. They like to call them competitive devaluations by countries eager to keep their currencies as low as possible to protect exports. But anyway, the Fed faces a challenge having to navigate some pretty intense cross currents right now. And that was a note from the chief economist at JP Morgan Chase. And the U.S. in effect is importing some of the world's downward inflation pressure through currency movements. So that's is exactly what's going on. So and then from the Mises Institute here in Canada, or there in Canada, Patrick Barron is going on to make some predictions here as a result of the fact that the U.S. is now, in effect, importing some of the world's downward inflation pressure through these currency movements. So Patrick Barron goes on to predict, again, that the Fed will start charging negative interest rates on bank reserve accounts, which will then ripple through the markets and result in negative interest rates on savings at banks as well. He is going on to make this prediction because it's only logical in terms of action that these Keynesian managers of our economy and monetary policy is the only real thing that they have left to do. The exporters are going to start screaming that they can't sell goods overseas because the dollar is too strong. So what then is the Fed's option? They're going to follow Switzerland's lead and Denmark, and they're going to impose negative interest rates in order to drive down the foreign exchange rate of the dollar. And it's pretty much the last tool in the war on savings and wealth, in order to spur the Keynesian goal of increasing the aggregate demand. So if savers won't spend their money, the money will be taken from them. That's probably a pretty darn good. That's pretty accurate, I think. I think that they're going to definitely be looking at making more legislation so that it's acceptable for them to steal all our money. I think we've already seen that happen. We saw that in the omnibus bill. And again, it's happening all around the world. The U.S. manufacturing sector continuing to lose momentum in January, adding to softer numbers in December. According to the latest PMI index data, report said that January's report was the slowest rate of expansion in 12 months. So again, PMI data falling in January, boding of things to come. Let's see what else. Do you guys have a foreign bank account or an offshore bank account? Do you think you might need one? I don't know. There's a really good activist post article about whether or not you might actually need an offshore bank account. And it's you know, kind of makes me feel like you might. You can dilute your political risk by having one, right? Because people aren't going to be snooping around to see how much money you have and to see if they can, you know, suck it out of your account. Let's see. They've got sounder banking systems and banks overseas. You can do better asset protection. Currency diversification is one thing I'm super big in. Higher interest rates for your deposits sometimes overseas. So lots of good reasons that maybe start considering moving your banking overseas. Carrot bars would be a fantastic, fantastic way to do that. Get yourself into gold. Get yourself diversified into the euro, and you don't have to disclose any information to the feds or anything. So anyway, that'd be definitely a way to do that. So scientists have figured out a way, you're not going to believe this, to unboil an egg. Do you think this is an important scientific discovery? Is this something that we should be spending our money on? I don't really know. I got to wet my whistle here. Hang on a second, guys. Coffee. Needed it. Okay, so scientists, yes, have figured out a way to unboil an egg. Now, they haven't figured out how to unscramble one yet, but I imagine that'll be next. But this is serious. When you boil an egg, the heat causes the protein inside the eggs to tangle, clump together, which is what makes it a hard-boiled egg, right? Solidifies it. But new research published in Chem Biochem by scientists at UC Irvine shows how they can essentially reverse that clumping process by adding chemicals to a cooked egg. So yes, they have in fact figured out a way to unboil a hen egg. And they didn't just go for a standard 10-minute hard-boiled egg. No, they went to make it absolutely sure that the whites were cooked. So they boiled the egg for 20 minutes at 194 degrees Fahrenheit. They added urea to the eggs, untangling the knotted proteins by chemically breaking them back down into bits and returning the eggs to a liquid form. Blah. It should also be noted that urea is one of the main ingredients in your pee-pee, so these unboiled eggs are probably not tasty. But anyway, the researchers then could put the now liquid solution into a machine called a vortex fluid device, and the device pieces the broken proteins back together within minutes. Used to take them many, many days to do such a thing. But yeah, so now they can essentially unboil an egg. They're hoping, honestly, and this is real, that there's going to be some use for this in cheese making or pharmaceutical industries. But I just absolutely ridiculous. I had to share that with you guys because I imagine that these guys got a grant. There's probably some taxpayer money involved with them figuring out how to do this. And I love it when they develop these things. They're, oh, we can do this thing now. We hope that we find a use for it somehow later. It's like the first non-biological leaf that they created the other day. There was a huge article about this synthetic leaf that they created, and it turns out that it's practically useless. And they spent all this money making it, and it's worthless. That's just crazy to me. Spend all this money to figure out how to unboil an egg, and we don't know what we're going to do with that technology. But make me start looking at my eggs a little more closely. I don't know. That's just gross to me. Anyway, Ford has now thrown down the autonomous vehicle gauntlet or glove, as it would be. They opened up a pretty significant shop deep in the heart of Silicon Valley this week. And they are working with researchers from Stanford as well. So it looks like they are moving very quickly ahead at trying to get autonomous vehicles in the world. But there's actually now a place where you can go and see them in the flesh, which is pretty neat. So Ford, deep in the heart of Silicon Valley there, opening up a pretty darn cool-looking facility there. And some of the vehicles, I'll tell you, are pretty neat. This whole autonomous vehicle thing, I think, is the wave of the future, and I do kind of like it. I want to point out this other story, too, and this is, again, in the health section of the of today's show section at redpillreports.com, but there's a great video that shows a woman using a device called the eSight glasses, which I've never even seen before, never heard of this thing before. They're a very expensive pair of digitally enhanced glasses that, in effect, allow blind people to see. I'd never even heard of this before. I didn't know this technology was around. But this video is a great video, first of all, just if you want to have a little bit of hope in humanity. But this video that is in this article is of this woman holding her son for the very first time and being able to see him for the very first time ever. So not only her first experience with the eSight glasses, but the very first time she's ever able to actually see her son, who's very young. I mean, we're talking about just she's still in the hospital after his birth. So really, really cool. I like seeing stuff like that. Yeah, exactly, man. Cool tech. I like cool tech. That's something that I think we need more of in the world. Another big China-Russia tech development, or another joint partnership between these two countries. We keep seeing so much happening in respect to these two. But China right now has got plans to build a $242 billion, billion with a B, as in boy, that is a lot of money, high-speed rail link between Moscow and Beijing. The line is supposed to cut the journey time down from 5 days to just 2 days. This is a 7,000-kilometer-long railway, right, going through Kazakhstan, and this is reports, let's see, Bloomberg citing that Beijing city government on social networking says that this is what they're going to do, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, the railway would make it easier to travel between Asia and Europe. But this is we were talking about like a sixth of the way around the planet by high-speed rail. That is a ginormous undertaking. They think it's going to take about 8 to 10 years, and they liken it to the Suez Canal in terms of scale and significance. But interesting that China and Moscow would be investing such a large amount of money to make sure that their business centers are connected. But $242 billion over the course of the next 10 years to put this thing together. But man, that is cool. And what's up with our high-speed rail system in the United States? Oh, yeah, I remember. We don't have one. You keep hearing all those rumors about China getting ready to do that, or not China, California getting ready to do that too, and you kind of wonder if that's ever going to happen, but I would be very surprised if it happened. It would be very nice if you could go from Seattle to LA in about 45 minutes via high speed, though. That would be super rad. Anyway, more measles outbreaks. 80 people now in the United States confirmed to have the measles. Most of them confirmed links to the outbreak that started at Disneyland in Disney's California Adventure Park. They did find that 28 of the people did not receive the measles vaccine. So it's funny, you see these articles and they're like, oh, it's mostly people who are not vaccinated. But no, that's not. It's majority of these people were vaccinated. So just bear that in mind. Still measles running rampant across California, and potentially you're not any safer if you're vaccinated than if you weren't vaccinated. The city of Margate is the first in Florida to unanimously pass a bill that would require the labeling of food containing genetically modified ingredients. This bill was supported by the city's newly appointed mayor. So again, Margate, Florida, the first city in California, not in California, they're in Florida, the first city in Florida to absolutely demand labeling of food containing GMO stuff. So that's a pretty big deal. Hungary also coming out over the weekend saying that they are not going to be allowing GMOs and biotech into their country as well. So that's a pretty good deal. They're actually looking to initiate a joint alliance of EU member states to further reject the GMOs in farming. So, of course, we had that story about the EU individual states essentially being allowed to dictate whether or not they wanted to have GMOs on their property. But Hungary taking it a step further now, wanting to get a large group of people, a large group of states together to formally denounce GMOs across the EU. I would love to see that happen also. And let's see, what else can we talk about? Just another reminder to major, major blizzard warning right now. There's could be an absolutely apocalyptic blizzard. That's what they're saying. New York City, Boston, tonight and into tomorrow. So if you're up in that area, please be safe. Please have all the stuff that you need to have in your home already. You know, don't go out on the roads if you don't need to be. There's a good chance the airports are going to be closed. You're going to see major, major drifts with the winds as high as they're expected to be, 10 feet drifts, things like that. Power outages. Just be safe. If you've got friends and family up there, keep them in your thoughts and prayers. We're going to go to a 3-minute break. When we come back, we will have the one and only Mr. Greg Morse joining us on the show. Very, very cool stuff. We'll be talking about mortgage fraud and what we can all do about it, ladies and gentlemen. And can't express to you how important this this subject is going to be. So keep it right here, guys. 3-minute break. We will be right back.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
We are submersed in a construct that was designed to break us and keep us broken. But it hasn't. It failed. We still go on because we were designed from an eternal template of infinite creativity and not a synthetic house of cards built on pride and false power. Breaking free from the programs and paradigms that hold us down takes courage, endurance, tenacity, and trust. The reason it is so hard is because to be a free and sovereign being, we have to smash every lie, even if it hurts. It is good to be reminded of how resilient, unbreakable, magnificent, and powerful we truly are. And if anything provides a foundation for that, it is the book, Our Universal Journey. Go to ouruniversaljourney.com.au.
Archaeology, astronomy, alchemy, secrets of the Holy Bible, hidden codes of the Quran, demonology, Tesla technology, solar power, extraterrestrials in the ancient world. More than 500 documentaries, an experimental film lab of cutting-edge music and art, full-length movies, conference reports, and weekly TV shows. The Enigma Channel is the world's first truly global TV station. www.enigmatv.com. Intelligent television for planet Earth.
Real people, real radio. Wherever you are, make it TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys for sticking with us through that 3-minute break, and thank you guys for being with us, just in general, in the chat room, online, listening at your, in front of the warm glow of your computer. We love that you guys are out there listening, and we're trying to, do our best to continue to talk about what really breaks down to probably the most important story that's going on in the world right now. The story that we're talking about, obviously, is the mortgage crisis that's going on, the MERS debacle, the idea that all of this conspiratorial or all of this banking ridiculousness has just been going on, and they've taken all of our money, guys. This is what it comes down to. And we're going to get into with Greg Morse here. He's going to talk about it a little bit more specifically. But I'm just trying to give you the generalization is that, they have broken the chains of title on 90% of the mortgages that exist in the world. They've taken that worth or value out of your home. They've leveraged it. They put it into derivatives and things like that, and then they funneled those derivatives overseas and into black projects and funded into, you know, terrorism organization. It's just about as bad as an issue as you could possibly imagine. But I wanted to backtrack away from the ginormity of the story a little bit and bring it back home to the people who are listening right now. I want to talk today about your individual mortgages out there and about how you guys out there can figure out whether or not you are a part of this. And I'm telling you right now, you are. But if you are like me and you want to be able to verify things independently, there are ways that you can verify that this is a situation that does affect you. And then once you realize that you are affected, we can talk about taking this thing to the next level and all the things that we need to do. Anyway, I get to meet a lot of fantastic people doing what I do. I talk to a lot of people all the time, but I have to tell you guys out there, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, I am more proud of knowing Greg Morse than I am of just about any other person I know on the planet. He's absolutely one of the most just diehard dynamite gentlemen that I've ever had the pleasure of speaking with. And, I'm very, very thankful that he, still is, you know, comes onto our show and still, you know, is here to talk to you guys. So Greg, thanks a lot for being here this morning, my friend.
Oh, it's my pleasure, JD. Thank you for all the kind words. Feeling mutual. I appreciate it.
Oh man. Well, we got to get this thing kicked in the butt here, Greg, and I don't really know how to do it. We've been struggling quite a bit to get people really in the loop on what exactly is going on. I do have a lot of people in the chat room today, and a lot of people are really fired up about this issue right now, to be perfectly honest, Greg, and they want to know, basically, where did all of this start? What is MERS? What is chain of title? What does this all mean to everybody? Do you think we can take it down to that kind of level today, Greg, and just get everybody that might be new into the loop as to what is actually going on?
Absolutely. I think you're spot on, and I think it's the most important thing we can do, and we will do that dynamically, and we'll do it in a summary form so that everybody can go pop, 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 and they don't get wrapped up in all the technical incongruity of the thing.
I love it. I love it.
All right. Number one, what is the problem? The problem is that we as American home and property, keyword, may not have a house on it. Could be just raw dirt. Home and property owners were looked at as the single largest demographic collection of people against whom Agenda 21 and PNAC money grab and land grab goals could be accomplished. That's the problem.
Okay.
That's number one. Number two, propaganda is a huge part of this problem. What is propaganda? The dog has four legs. I tell you 35,000 times the dog has three legs. After a while, your brain just kind of materializes and transforms from four legs to three legs. Somebody asks, how many dog have you, say three legs? Not true, but that's what propaganda does. Here's the propaganda. You have heard terms like subprime mortgage. You have heard terms like, well, all these idiot American homeowners went out and committed to buy homes for which they were not financially capable of paying for. Right. Those are two of the biggest pieces of propaganda that have been floating around in the media since October of 2008. Now, nothing is ever all and nothing is never, never. There's always exceptions to the rule. Am I saying those events never took place? No. I'm saying for the average person, the great preponderant majority of people are not guilty of either of those two problems. But the propaganda machine has dumbed down the American people to make them feel guilty that they did something wrong when nothing could be farther from the truth. Number three, what was the real end result of the problem, Agenda 21 and PNAC, and the propaganda, subprime mortgage, and the other one, Jet of Brain Lurking, subprime mortgage and your inability to pay? What is the result of that? The result of that is the largest fraud, both mortgage fraud and securities fraud, which led into income tax evasion fraud in recorded history, has been perpetrated unknowingly against all of us. That's the problem. What does that mean? It means that you as a homeowner simply wanted to buy a dad burn house. You did not realize, and you would have had no reason to realize, that what you were doing was playing into their plan to get you into a home without using their own real money. What they did was they took your signature, your social security number, and your credit rating, and they monetized that in the very first few hours after you signed your mortgage documents. And they monetized that using monies that were never theirs, which means it was not a true sale.
Right.
And they monetized your basically securitized, collateralized worth as a human being, which is totally illegal because that is peonage,
yeah,
in violation of the U.S. Constitution. Mm-hmm. They monetized your value as a human being and loaned you your own money. Because if your life in the eyes of the New World Order, et cetera, has value, then that value is supposed to be yours.
Wow.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I just have to cut you off for a second, because you just made a pretty profound statement, and I think that there's an example out there that, because what you're really talking about, Greg, is the idea that the fiat currency that we use right now, that everybody thinks is just fiat, meaning by decree, doesn't have any value to it. But that's not really fundamentally true. You know, the value of the currency is you and I. It's our future time, talent, and energy. Your time, talent, and energy is the only thing on the planet that has any value. So what you just said really hit the nail on the head for me, because I just want to give an example for people out there who don't understand how your labor relates to the value of your currency and how your labor translates into credit for major corporations, because it's exactly what we're talking about right now. So let's say Sears and Roebuck wants to build lawnmowers, right? they go to the bank and they are issued credit as a loan against your future time, talent, and energy to create the system that builds the lawnmowers, right? So your credit, your time, talent, and energy has been monetized by the system, and then they use that to credit the funding of everything that you see around you. And then you go in to buy your lawnmower when really, in reality, you've already paid for it because it was the promise of your time, talent, and energy that created the machine that built the thing in the first place. But then you give them more Federal Reserve notes. You're actually paying for things twice whenever you pay for anything. Just had to put that in there because you just got me on that track, and I apologize if I just, you know, took you way off the mark, Greg, but that's how I feel about that. Anyway.
No, you're technically spot on.
Right.
And that's exactly the point I'm trying to make. It's your money. But the analogy would be this. I have a widget for $10 that I'm willing to sell for $10. You want my widget and you've got $10. I reach in, I take your wallet out of your pocket, I take the $10 out of your wallet, and I mean, no, wait a minute. I have your $10. I give you back your $10, you reverse it back to me. You're paying, I'm using your money to buy from you that which you have, which I want. I had it reversed.
Right.
You have the widget that I want for $10, but I take your wallet out of your pocket. I take out your $10 and give it back to you, and you give me the widget that you have that I want.
Right.
I had it reversed 180 out. So here's the point. When they monetize your Social Security card and your name, that means that they are borrowing from you in advance. It's like an advance draw.
Right. Yeah.
You go to your boss and you say, hey, I'm a little short this month. Can you give me a draw against next month's salary? He says, yeah, okay. He gives you the money, but next month you're not going to get your full boat salary because he's going to pay himself back before he gives you the net, right? Mm-hmm. It's the same thing here. They're taking from you monies that are yours, but you just haven't put your hands on it yet because you haven't lived enough years to turn those skills and that life force into the money that it represents.
Right.
Now what that leads us to is the next issue you brought up. That, and you have to understand what we just discussed because that's the heart of the entire scam. This is not an administrative or just a financial scam. This is a major pre-engineered RICO criminal cabal.
That's huge.
If you don't understand that, then I'm not doing my job to try to inform people and to educate them based on the evidence on our site at SaveOurFamilyAndHome.com is intended to teach you. That's where I think we may not be hitting the target yet in terms of getting people to go to the petition in large enough numbers, because this is very hard for people to get their arms around, and that's why I want to keep it very summarial and simple to understand. So point four is, now they've used you and your future earning power through monetization, which securitization is a part, to buy the house that you want.
I got a question from the chat room. What does monetizing mean? What do we actually mean when we say that?
Monetizing means that you're taking something of value, typically in terms of time, effort, skill, or future contribution, and you're monetizing it in terms of assigning a fiat currency value to it and paying it before it's all been earned yet.
Okay.
That's what monetizing is. It's like getting a discount on a note that you're not, let's say you have a car note. It's a 5-year deal. You owe $100 a month at some percentage rate for 5 years. And all of a sudden, the company that loans you the money have a little problem. They need to bring some cash in. So what they do is they'll come to you and they'll say, hey, look, they won't tell you they're having a money problem, but what they'll say is, look, we're going to offer you a deal. If you will pay us 2 years worth of payments in 6 months, we'll call it clear. Well, you think, oh boy, that's a great deal. Well, and it may be for you in terms of being able to buy a car for 2 years worth of payments instead of five, but the effect of it is it's a discount in that note for reasons that you're not truly aware of. That's what monetization is.
Okay.
Okay. So what happens now is once they've monetized you and put you into this house, then what they've done is they have gotten you to voluntarily, without your knowledge. Now, this is just human nature. Mortgage documents are long. They're confusing. They're legalistic in the way they're written rhetorically, and they're burdensome to read. They're in small print, and most people, let's just be honest, they don't read them.
Right.
Now, is that right? No. But is it a reality? Yes. So what happens is people execute the, and I'm one of them, I'm guilty of sin. People sign these documents without realizing, number one, what they say, and even more pervasively important is what do those words mean?
Yes.
Reading is one thing, understanding the implication of that written word is a totally different paradigm of thought. Mm-hmm. And if they don't read them, they certainly can't understand what that paradigm is in terms of what's the implication of those words.
Right.
So when you sign these documents, what you've done is you have voluntarily given them your permission to rape and gang rape and plunder you through monetization of your own future earnings.
Which they're more than happy to do that too. You know?
Absolutely. And they've got you as a sheeple to just agree, say, sure, do whatever you want. Rape me, kill me, throw me off the cliff, that's fine. Just give me the house so I can put up the flowers and the pictures and play house.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line, that's what it really is. Because when people typically want a house, that's all they can think of. Gotta have a house.
Yeah, think of the mood that you're in when you're in there to sign that paperwork. You know, the last thing you're thinking about is that guy across the desk from you is trying to pull one over on you at some point, you know, especially if you've never even taken into account the reality of contract law or never really looked into the law or, you know, don't really have any kind of inclination that something might be amiss. You would never even suspect in a million years that your mortgage would be compromised. That guy over there wants you to have a house just as much as you want to have the house. You know, we just want to get through this paperwork and get you out there, you know?
Absolutely. And what unfortunately, and it's very fallacious, it's incorrect, but it's technically, but it's really true. Most people, and I don't know a lot of them. I've only interviewed in depth over 7,000 of them, and that's a small percentage of the total 200+ million in the country. But I think it's a pretty good significant database of examples, and this is what they all say. They actually think the person on the other side of the table is there to protect their interests.
Right, exactly.
And that may seem like a minute point to listeners, but it's not. It's critically important because if I can convince you as the guy on the other side of the table that I'm really there to help you, I can get away with sin.
Oh, heck yeah, man.
Because you're not going to be watching me.
Mm-hmm.
And all I have to do is say, this is a good deal. Aren't you going to have a great time mowing the yard and watching your puppy dog run around in the backyard?
Oh, imagine if
and that's not frivolous because that's the kind of stuff these monkeys say.
Well, it's worse than that. Imagine if they could put all that in a language that you couldn't possibly understand even if you did read it. You know?
And that's what happens because people read it and say, I don't know, what does this mean? Well, they're asking the wolf that's guarding the hen house to tell them, I'm not here to eat the chickens.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here to protect them. And they go, oh, okay, that's the answer. No, it's not the answer, but since they don't know and they don't think about it or don't want to incur the cost to get an expert in both contract law and basic rhetorical dissemination kind of skills to be able to tell them honestly what this means, they just trust the guy at the mortgage company. And I'm telling you, those people don't know squat.
Yep.
For the most part. They really don't. I've interviewed so many hundreds of mortgage people that were just there knowing that if they did what their boss told them, they could make a lot of commission. They didn't even know what the heck they were doing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what happens? What happens is they get you into this deal that was fraudulent from the get-go. And there's two things at this juncture. One, it puts you into the MERS system. We're not going to get off into that. It's all on the website. Go read the affidavit that I wrote, 279 pages. It'll give you a really clear idea. Power's system was pre-engineered, just like the stock market, to just rape you over the coals.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not going to get into that kind of detail today. But here's what happened. When you sign that document, it puts it into the MERS system, and simultaneously, it breaks the chain of title. What is a chain of title? A chain of title is exactly what it says. Title is word that means ownership.
Right.
Chain of title means ownership after ownership after after ownership after ownership. Why do they use the term chain? Because in a chain, a steel chain is made up of a bunch of individual little tiny links when put together equals a big long chain. Mm-hmm. If you take out only one of those little tiny links in the chain is no longer designed to be, correct?
Correct.
Okay. When you break the chain title, it has tremendously serious financial implications, and people fall completely off the economical web.
Okay, Greg, I want to interrupt for just a second because I want to.
There are some tremendously powerful constitutional precedent-setting Supreme Court decisions which say the following. The big one is called Carpenter v. Longan, L-O-N-G-A-N. You can either go to our site and read about it, you can look it up. Here's what it says. It says if the mortgage or the deed of trust, same document, same legal implication, different title depending upon the state you're in. In Texas, it's called a deed of trust. That deed of trust is connected to a document called a promissory note, which is the financial evidentiary document. There's a loan in place.
Okay.
Those documents are, according to Harp v. Law, they both become nullities.
That mean nullities?
Nullities mean they're of no force and effect. The debt is not owed. The title is not in the name of the lender. It's your home.
Hmm.
Now, the only way that those two items can be put back together would be through a basically a federal district court judge's order, which requires you as the homeowner to voluntarily agree, once you have been made aware that you've been defrauded and stolen from, that you give the bad guys a hall pass. Odds of that happening are not likely.
Not pretty good, yeah.
So that means when the mortgage or deed of trust and the promissory note are legally separated, they're nullities, you own the house. So people say, well, okay, if that happened, why can't we just go get a quiet title? A quiet title means that it recognizes the chain of title has been broken, possessions 9/10 of the law, you as the homeowner get free and clear title. There have been a few cases of that, but when you study the intricacies of those cases to which that circumstance applies, what you'll find, the courts didn't typically really recognize the concept, and this is where court fraud comes in. They don't truly, and you have to read the entirety of the documents in the case to understand. You can't go to Zero Hedge or some of these other places, or MERS as an example, and read a topical article written by a reporter who is taking the opinion of others as to what happened in the case. 99 times out of 100, it's incorrect.
Okay.
We have proven that from personal experience. You have to read the entirety of the documents up to and including the actual judge's order. That is typically hundreds of pages, so most people shy away from that because they can read a two-paragraph article from a website news agency and think, oh, okay, that's what happened.
Right.
That's not what happened.
Okay.
That's not what happened. Not trying to slander anybody. I'm just saying that is the reality. So what happens is, in most cases, the judges are not recognizing the quiet title concept under law, which if they were being honest, they would. What they're doing is there's been some other technically erroneous, miscellaneous issue on which they have based their order.
Meaning, like what?
The other side could have made a procedural misstep in the process.
Okay.
They could have missed a filing date. They could have failed to, they made the filing on time, but they could have missed addressing the issues brought up by the homeowner in a previously filed document. Let's say the homeowner files a pleading of some sort and the other side, the so-called lenders, give a response to that. In the response, they could put words, but they didn't address the issues brought up in the pleading by the homeowner. So the judge says, okay, basically, you know, failure to respond is acquiescence kind of a concept. Mm-hmm. What they'll say is, okay, you didn't address the answer. That means you lose, homeowner wins. There have been a few like that, but I'm talking about like less than on the numbers of fingers and toes you have.
Yeah, right.
And if you, so in terms of the millions and millions and millions of mortgages, it's a totally statistically insignificant number. So what happens now? We're up to step four now, and that is they break your chain of title.
Wait, can we talk about the chain of title for just a second so people really understand what that is? Because and correct me if I'm wrong, but our chain of titles here in our country should go all the way back to when the King of England granted us land rights, right? Like, you should be able to trace your property that you're standing on right now. You should have an unbroken chain of title all the way back to the inception of our country, more or less, right?
There's no more or less. That's no more absolutely or less. True.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify that and make sure I was on the right track.
You're spot on. That's why it's called a chain of title. It should go back to the original granting from the original, so to speak, owner.
The sovereign.
Sovereign. Okay. All the way forward to you today sitting at your breakfast table. And there should not be a break in that. And that has tremendous legal implication, because that means, for a chain of title not to be broken, that every single document filed, whether it's an assignment, a transfer, a purchase, a sale, or a modification to any of those documents, they all have to comply with very lengthy, verbose state and federal statutes, so that the legal binding nature of each one of those documents is maintained 100% intact. Mm-hmm. So that means every step has got to be taken, and every step has got to be taken exactly correct 100%. 80% don't hack the game.
Okay.
And what you'll find, and that's what we do to try to help people understand, we should say this entire process I'm talking about now, go to saveourfamilyandhome.com. At the very top of the homepage, there is a blue link, and it says how to check if your mortgage is compromised. Then it says click here. Put your mouse on click here, single left click, and it will take you to the checklist. Follow the checklist. Very simple. And at the end of that 20 steps, you will see typically thing we're talking about now.
Okay. Got a 3-minute break. We're going to just jump to here real quick, Greg, but put it in perspective, how mortgages do you think are affected by this issue?
I think it's from our research, well more than 90% of all the current existing mortgages have been destroyed.
So there's a 9% that we are talking about you now, ladies and gentlemen. You, the other end of the radio, listening to the computer, talking to you. So we're going to go through all this. I'll tell you what about it as well when we get back to this 3-minute break. Stay right here, guys. Thank you guys for being in that room. Some questions. We'll be right back, guys. Right here.
Hey, Big Mouth. Yeah, you. Listen. I want you to put the word out on the street. Tell your coworkers, your family, your paisanos, that my good friend, Joe Joseph, is doing a good thing here. He's sticking his neck out for me, for Sill, and for all the people in the world. Isn't that right, Sill?
He's part of the family now, Deke.
That's what I thought. So tune in to him right here on Freedom Link, Monday to Friday, exclusively on the Truth Frequency Radio. Yeah, they're watching you. Big deal. They're watching me, too. They're watching everybody. So grow some cojones and give them something to watch and listen to. Make them earn it. Give them paperwork until they choke. That's right. I know you won't let me down. So you're going to put the word out about my good friend, Joe Joseph, right? Good. Now do me a favor and get out of here.
Doctors don't want you to know about iodine because it allows the body to heal itself quickly and permanently. Iodine Now is a complete powder formulation that will load iodine into the body with vitamin C for the best possible absorption. Iodine Now, available by the case and for protection from radiation, fluoride, chlorine, and bromine. including all heavy metals. We believe that this is the main element that humans need more than any other at this time. This formulation is infused with our bioactive aerobic rare earth nutrient powder that has a powerful negative charge that attracts positive toxins. Why not buy one product that does the job of 20 and saves you space, time, and money? Has a storage life of 100 years. All for about $18 a month. Call 888-910-4367 or visit hempusa.org. Call 888-910-4367. Bringing back the universal medicine for mankind. Iodine now. Only at hempusa.org.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Within Radio with Tom Barnes and Tommy Whitgate. Saturdays on Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys for sticking with us. That three-minute break. My very special guest today is the one and only Greg Morse, and we are talking about the mortgage crisis and about how your own mortgages out there might potentially be or most likely are affected by this issue. And before the break, we were kind of talking about the importance of the chain of title and what that actually meant and how that if you cannot trace your chain of title back to, well, the original, you know, the original given of the land, then you are in a world of hurt out there. Is that correct, Greg?
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
So, okay, we've got a couple of different questions from the chat room. A lot of people are wondering about how they can deal with these contracts individually. You know, I realize we kind of have a collective group of solving motifs that go down a road, but people who are just at home right now, who are just kind of coming into this realization that their mortgage is potentially fraudulent, you know, they're going to be like, where do we go from here? What are we doing? You know,
that's a great question. It's a easy question to ask, very difficult to answer.
Yeah.
Here's what happens when your chain of title is broken. At that point, you have become an unwilling, involuntarily indentured servant under the law. That means that you are the recipient victim of having peonage, P-E-O-N-A-G-E, applied to you. That is a violation of the Constitution of the United States, clear and simple. Not obligatory. It's absolutely in your face. There's no way around it. Here's what that means. It means that you will never in your lifetime own your home.
Wow.
When they break the chain of title, without going into all the detail we've covered previously, again, which is all on the website, when your chain of title is broken, that allows MERS as the administrative head of the screw-up system, in terms of screwing up all the paperwork, it allows the Depository Trust and Clearing Corporation, the stock market, the Federal Reserve, and all of these fake lenders to absolutely obliterate your ability through their securitization and subsequent multiple sales of your earning power, which is, remember, the monetization issue. They complicate that to a degree that you as an individual unless you're an idiot like me and get into this process to where you have to burrow down to the very bottom of all of these rabbit holes and come up with 15 to 20,000 pages today of the evidence to prove the dadgum point we're screaming from the top of the mountaintops to get people to hear, mm-hmm. you're not going to be able to fight it. The other complication is that we have proven beyond a shadow of a doubt, and you're, I forget the gentleman's name from Alaska that you interviewed last week, on the legal system in Alaska and some of the fights
Winterode.
And I want to get a hold of him, JD. That guy knows what he's talking about. He is spot on, and I love that show. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to ask a favor to get you to help me reach out to him, because he had some pearls of wisdom that I hope and pray that people were listening to. And it's all about the fate jurisdiction and therefore the subsequent criminality of the courts in this country. You see, if I walk into a court and I prove with actual true certified copies from the registrar's office that my chain of title is broken, if that judge was legal and he should instantaneously issue quiet title, and all of the 7 or 8 or 9 defendants that we're attacking in our federal civil RICO case, our pro se RICO case, I should have won this 3 years ago.
Right.
Because it's crystal clear. It's not that there has to be, 150 pre-accomplishments at the end of which number 151 is the judge gets to make up his mind. It's very crystal clear in the law. Mm-hmm. If chain title is broken, quiet title is in order. But the judges aren't doing that. Why is that? Because they are bought and paid for in one way or another, either by the banks themselves or by people who control those banks.
I agree.
And that's what it is. I've got evidence beyond reason in my own case to prove that fact. And you find out when you start researching some of these, you find out they've got their investments with the banks that you're suing.
Oh. And they have, and they all have tea times together on Sundays when,
It's unbelievable. And people, I think, where maybe we are missing the mark, where, and we'll get into this before the show's over, when this chain of title is broken, that opens the doors for the floodgates for them to do all the other criminality we've talked about now for weeks and weeks and weeks. Stock market, DTCC, Federal, offshore transfers. All of that stuff happens after they destroy the chain of title. So the question from the chat room was, what can we do? You've only got, as I see it, my opinion, you only have two real choices. One is you're going to have to get the evidence that we have, and you're going to have to file your own RICO case.
Okay.
That's a big commitment. A state case is not going to work. I can guarantee you a state case with the state judges and the way they operate, you might as well hit yourself in the head with a ball peen hammer for all the good it's going to do you. Mm-hmm. That means you got to go to federal court. You don't want to file a regular federal case because RICO is the only, under the RICO statutes, it's the strongest law, organized criminal corruption that exists on the USC, the US, United States Code today. And if you a pro se civil RICO case, you just foobar their system behind. They don't know how to deal with you. But it's a huge commitment. Mm-hmm. Now, there are people on a personal basis, where I'm not on account. So all I'm doing is helping the other gentleman. I've given them evidence showing them what we've done to be successful in our case at this point. They're doing it, but I warned them all. This is a much bigger commitment than you think it is. And the emotional conflict they've had is, well, I understand it's a big commitment, and that's kind of intimidating to me, but I can't stand to sit here and be raped anymore. Mm-hmm. I have to do something. So I see the philosophy going on here, or the psychology of it, but they get into it and they go, wow, you didn't over-exacerbate the estimation of the commitment. So that's the first thing you can do. The other thing you can do, which I think is the more universally applicable solution, is to work with us as a grassroots group to sign the petition, get involved with us, and help spread the word to get other people, as many hundreds of thousands as we can over time, hopefully and prayerfully, to sign the dadgum petition, because we can force a joint congressional house hearing and testimony on this issue. Why do we want to do that, and how does that solve your problem? Because if I am able, with many of the other witnesses that we have lined up, if we can get this evidence, JD, in front of the American public, the media, and put the Congress people, all 536 of them, whatever it is, on notice that we're coming at you, that means that we break the secrecy around the criminal cabal. If we break the secrecy, it's not much different, is it, than what Iceland did?
No, it wouldn't be.
It's this, if you think about it, it's not a stretch to say they're pretty much one and the same. Mm-hmm. Because the 400,000 people in Iceland came together and said, we're done with this. We're done.
The only real difference there is that they had support, you know, of the government. At some point, you know, the government said, okay, we're gonna get lynched if we don't go along with the will of the people at this point. I don't know if we have that much power in America anymore, you know?
I don't know, but we have to try. We can't sit back on our haunches and voluntarily walk to the gas chamber. We have to do something.
I agree with that. Okay, so in terms of the petition then, what do you think, let's pretend we hit a grand slam home run and we've got, you know, 50 or 100,000 people that have signed this petition and we're ready to go to Washington. What do you think the effect of that is going to be, and what do you hope to accomplish with it?
I think it could be the single biggest event in history of this country since 1776. It is going to be a fight. There's not going to be one simple thing about it. If we are lucky enough to get enough people to sign the petition as registered voters, that gives us the ability to challenge the, so to speak, as I very carefully say, so to speak, elected officials in Washington, to know that the very people who have signed this petition are likely in your constituency, in your district. Mm-hmm. We've got you. We've got most of the evidence, which says you have had years and years and years to vote in favor of the homeowner to stop this fraud. You haven't done it. Why is that? Who are you working for? And we're starting to put together a lot of the information on these guys who all have, most of them have accounts of some sort or another, one or more, at UBS, HSBC, and they're all involved with this transfer of monies into black ops and good Lord knows what else. So my thought here, my strategy is that we're going to attack them in a public way that cannot be covered up, and we're going to scare the bedevil out of them. Mm-hmm. And when we scare them, like you just said, we had, you know, they were afraid they were going to get lynched in Iceland. We have to do that here, because these people are so criminally corrupt, they won't do anything unless you force them. You're not going to do an activist deal and write them a letter and call their administrative assistant at their office and say, would you please stop this problem? Right. They're going to blow you off like sawdust in a hurricane. They couldn't care less, and you're not going to get anywhere. So I'm trying to take them on face on, in the eyes of the media, in the eyes of the population worldwide, because remember, this mortgage fraud that Goldman Sachs and JP Morgan and the rest of them instigated, this has affected the economy of the planet. It's not just here in this country.
Right.
But the reason people should get involved is because of all the bad things that we're all aware of going on. We all feel frustrated beyond the point of pulling our hair out with tweezers. We don't know how to fight it. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Benghazi, all these things. We don't know how to, CIA, NSA. How the heck do we stop this stuff? How do we stop getting Republicans and Democrats unilaterally from continually re-signing every year the NDAA, which gives them the right to put us all in jail without a trial, without charges, without lawyers?
Right.
See, people don't even go, they don't take the time, JD, to go check to see, hey, the guy I just elected is a Republican libertarian guy. He just signed NDAA again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They don't check this stuff, and it's out there. It's not hard to find. So what's the point? The point is we've got to take these people on, because in the mortgage crisis, all you listeners and all you people in the chat room, if you go, wow, I don't have the time, the effort, the money, or the inclination to file a RICO case like you did, what else can I do? It's a real simple deal. You take 5 minutes, you sign the petition. You're going to be getting an email from me in the next few days, all the hundreds that have signed up, and we're going to start having webinars, and we're going to start getting to know each other on a first name basis. Nice. And we're going to trade phone numbers, and we're going to get people no matter where in the heck they are. They could be out in the middle of the New Mexico desert. I don't care. We're going to be setting up people whose job it is, who believes in what we're doing, who believes in this country and wants to get their mortgage fixed. Mm-hmm. They're going to get involved, and we're going to start reaching out, and we're going to say, damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead. All this mass marketing, if I can say it, crapola. I'm an old East Texas country boy fighter pilot, so all I can tell you is that stuff seems to sound really good when it's coming off the lips of some of these high-tech IT computer people. It doesn't seem to work in the real world. So I'm going to go back to doing it the old way. One man, one woman. I talk to you, you talk to two, those two talk to four, and we're going to get those numbers come hell or high water, and we're going to do it by using the 600 plus great people who have already signed the petition, and we're going to get people to go to Washington with us. Now, what happens when we break the criminal cabal? I don't have a crystal ball. I used to, but it's been in the shop for 60 years. It's broke. I'll never get it back.
Right.
Here's what I think will happen. I think when we get enough people, and there's not a definite number, it may be 50,000, it might be 40,000, it might be 200. I can't tell you, there's not a legal guideline. But I know my gut tells me if we get 100,000 more, we're going to be able to knock them right between the eyes. What happens then? If we uncover this criminal cabal, they're going to become so scared that I guarantee you, I put $1,000 on this. What you're going to see is you're going to see hiatuses put on things like foreclosures, prosecutions, and everything else related to the mortgage industry, because it's going to bring those banks down.
Right.
And that is going to be related back to my legal registered whistleblower status with the IRS and the SEC and my civil pro se RICO lawsuit. That's why I did those two things. Not for me, but because it gives the American public two molecules of focus around which to collect, which then, because they own a home, they are a peonage victim of this fraud. What do they have to go to the Congress and to court? They got legal standing, don't they?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now we have hundreds of thousands of people, all of whom have legal standing, but who don't have the ability to fight to maintain integrity in their own rights, because the system has been built to where you can't go to federal court for less than a couple hundred, $300,000 just to get started.
Right.
Most people don't have that. That people is not by coincidence. That is by design. Mm-hmm. That is by design. Nobody want, the criminal doesn't want you to be able to fight them. So what I've given them here with you and everybody else involved is that we've given them a petition which allows them to register their legal standing. We're inviting everybody to go with us. In your car, get on a train, come to Washington with us.
Yes. And in relation to that petition, I just had another question from the chat room. Is this, does that get electronically submitted, or is this something that they want to fill out and then print out and then send in, you know, registered mail or something like that?
No, it's all done electronically, and here's what happens. One of my dearest friends and our lead researcher, Glenn Gregory, is our 40-year IT smart guy.
Right.
Glenn has a separate server set up. You go in and sign this thing electronically.
Okay.
Glenn collects all the data in a private database. Then what we do is we produce, when we file the petition to Congress, two things happen. And if we get a lot of people, this is going to be intimidating as heck. We have to give them two forms of the petition. One has to be electronic for obvious reasons, and the other one we have to print out hundreds of thousands of pieces of paper.
Okay.
And I love it. Yeah, because now we're going to get us an 18-wheeler, hopefully, and fill it up with paper and show up on the steps of Congress and provide not one copy, but two copies. One copy's got to go to the Secretary of the Senate. One's got to go to the Clerk of the House. And they each get this huge truckload full of paperwork evidencing every single good American citizen who has signed on that petition.
Wow. Well, that sounds like something I want to be a part of. I hope people out there listening are paying attention because this is the answer. I mean, this is the one shot we've got to make this thing go away, especially if you're paying attention to the housing market right now. I cannot open a newspaper without reading about another MERS victory in some state Supreme Court, Greg. I mean,
that's right.
Like every day.
You're right. But here's the interesting propaganda side of that. If, and MERS has been doing this for at least 5 years, and Glenn, bless his heart, he's the one that figured this out. Cause we've had lawyers contact us from all around the country saying you're crazy, blah, blah, blah. We'd give them the evidence. They all call back with their tail tucked between their legs going, golly, we guess you're right. Glenn figured this out. He said, I don't believe anything anybody tells me. He's old school, Norfolk, Virginia guy.
Right.
He says, I'm going to read every word of every one of those cases. And in many, if not most, it's well over 50%. And if you go to the MERS website, they have a legal forum section where they brag about all of the lawsuits they won.
Right.
That's propaganda. They're trying to convince the world that what MERS did was legal. It's illegal as hell. Period. Now, if you go read those cases, in many of those cases, the judge actually put in his order that MERS is not winning this case. They have submitted baloney information that is not applicable to the case at hand. I am finding in favor of MERS on issues that have nothing to do with MERS. They have to do with violations or inequities in the law as presented by the other side, the homeowner.
Hmm.
In other words, they wrote a bad petition. They didn't follow the law. They missed something procedurally. MERS didn't win a lot of those.
Really?
But they're lying. That's what I keep screaming to the forest. People, MERS didn't win all these cases. Go read actual judge's orders, and the judge will say, MERS, I'm gonna give you this case, but it's not because of anything you did right. It's because of what the other party, the homeowner and their counsel, if it existed, did wrong.
Right.
There's a difference, and you have to pay attention to that nuance. If you don't, you're missing the whole story.
Do you think the result of getting this petition together and getting in front of Congress will be the dissolvent of MERS? I mean, is that part of the target goal?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Because everyone is kind of like Gordon Duff says when he says, if I were to be in a position of authority, this is what I would do. And with this statement that he makes, I agree 100%. This is going to put thousands of individuals and entities in the gun sights of criminal prosecution. There's no question.
Right.
And you're going to find that it's going to trickle up to the IRS and their criminal complicity in it. You're going to find it's going to trickle up to the SEC, and then it's going to trickle back down into the stock market.
Well, I'm glad that you brought those up because we didn't even get a chance to. I mean, there's so much of this issue that we can never really get into in just a single hour, but it should be noted, you took all of the information to all of those upper echelon agency type places that should have potentially been responsible for all of this. And, they basically told you to pound sand, didn't they? I mean,
that's exactly right. They all, the four out of the 500 we sent that responded, the GAO, FTC, the Department of Justice, and the Department of Defense, it's not in our jurisdiction. Excuse me, the justice litigation issues on Pluto and come on. It's absolutely bizarre. So here's the point. We're coming to the end of the show. There's no way for this in 1 hour, and I wouldn't want to. I'm trying to keep this very simple. We told you what the problem is, how propaganda was used to cover it up, what the real issue is, and destruction of legal rights in the contract for which you're now paying, for which you will never get anything. You're never going to get a clear warranty deed at the end of your loan. You're never going to get a properly executed, duly authorized, verifiable, original blue ink promissory note saying canceled, paid in full, ain't going to happen. You're never going to own the house. But by the time you get to the end of your 10 or 15 or 30 year mortgage, you're going to have obviated themselves through bankruptcy like what's going on in the Lynch Court, in which I'm a part, the New York Rescap bankruptcy. And you're going to wake up after paying your mortgage for all these years. I don't own anything. That's what peonage is.
And then you can't sue them because they've already acted bankruptcy.
That's correct. The court gives them bankruptcy litigation protection. That's called bankruptcy moat, but it means you can't. And that's taking place right now, and you ought to read the same. There's a link right on how to your mortgage compromise. Got a link in there that I said what I predicted in 2010. We'll read the day I put out that went viral. It's happened exactly the way the, and that's not because of the smartest, because we just regurgitated and put in that press what the evidence told us was going to happen. It happened exactly the way we said. So what's this? Worry about this is a constellational anomaly. You know you're getting screwed. You don't know all the facts, but you don't need all the facts before you get started. In other words, you know the house is on fire. When you get back from the movie, you're not going to take 2 hours to walk around the house to see how big it is. You're going to start fire, and you'll figure out the rest as we go along.
Right.
So my urging to people is sign the petition with the webinar. Talking to us will give you whatever you need. The interaction between all the people you'll find will be breathtakingly fun. It'll be exhilarating. It'll be informative. And you'll learn a lot more as we go along. But we've got to get the petition signed because we can stop the whole dadgum system if we get enough people to say, I by myself can't do it. But if we put millions of people together, theoretically, because if 100,000 people sign it, how many do you think over the next year would sign it?
This is how it starts. Put a brush fire, and then you fan it out. I've got a question from chat room. People from the UK, they can't sign the petition because of voters, or does it matter? We'll agree with that.
You're not a voter, sign the dadgum thing anyway.
Wrong that. Sign it anyway. Don't make up fake names, you know, as people, but not a voter, sign it anyway. And I had another question. What do you do if one of your family members works for MERS or one of these other agencies? Is that, do you just immediately file for divorce, or what would you do there?
Well, since my track record is not good in that area, I would strongly suggest that you try to sit down and have a loving conversation with them about the error of their ways.
Right. I like it. I like it. That's good advice. Okay. So I was kind of going through making sure I didn't have any other questions from the chat room, but we are just about out of time. Greg, I really am thankful for you being out there doing what you're doing, taking the risks, and putting yourself on the line to make all this happen, man. I'm really happy to help you, and I really appreciate you coming here to share this with the audience today.
I thank you for everything you guys are doing, and bless all of your listeners. Please go to the petition, sign it, get involved. I would love to get to know each of you, and let's start working together. Let's don't be sissies, sit back and do nothing. Let's get after it.
Yeah. And that petition is linked from redpillreports.com, and you can also find it at ourfamilyandhome.com. Please sign it, and we'll get this party started, ladies and gentlemen. I want to get some community leaders. I want to get this thing really rocking and rolling. So again, take care, everybody. We will talk to you guys tomorrow. That was the show. See you tomorrow.
Truth Frequency Radio is your number one source for news and information. Without the hate, hype, and fear, we are proud to bring you cutting-edge programs like The Kev Baker Show,
The Christopher Everard Show,
The Freedom Link with Joe Joseph,
Truth Frequency with Chris and Shuri Geo,
Red Pill Reports
with J.D. Moore,
X-Squared with Brooks Agnew,
Down the Rabbit Hole with Popeye,
Freaky Friday
with The Woo Crew,
Waking Up the Masses
with Robert Bruce,
Phoenix Rising Radio,
and dozens more.
Did you know you can listen from any computer, mobile device, or from any telephone by dialing 832-225-5308.
Or call into your favorite show toll-free at 866-37-TRUTH.
Uncensored talk and news you won't hear in the mainstream media.
24 hours a day.
Truth Frequency Radio. Wherever you are, make it TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.